Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or scaling one or starting one from scratch, you need to get ready for Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon has your back because they know small businesses can make a big difference. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry because I love these. How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout.
In the immortal words of June Diane Raphael, is this like a full porno? We saw a body of evidence, so you know what that means.
Washington, D.C. We are so excited to be back in D.C. with a movie about politics, body politics. That's right. This might be the sexiest movie we've ever done. Next to that weird one with Bruce Willis and the girl who looked 12. If you've not watched Body of Evidence, the plot is simple. A woman fucks a man to death. But did she do it on purpose? That is what we're trying to find out throughout the entire movie. It's a riveting courtroom thriller. And like I mentioned in the opening, porno. To digest this, dissect this, we are going to bring out two of the best in the biz. Please welcome my co-host, Mr. Jason Manzoukas! What's up, jerks? How we doing, DC?
Wow-wee.
It's a Jason.
Ooh, this movie. You can't show me such a horny movie in the middle of a tour. This one was a real problem. I watched this movie on Amtrak today.
Which, I would argue, puts you in
I am now
60% of people who are riding Amtrak.
I am now on a list. I'm kidding. I was already on the list.
Well, we are going to break this down. Jason, did you ever see this movie before?
I did see this movie before.
Wow.
I've seen this movie. I know what this movie's all about.
All right.
This was like one of the, well, let's bring June up, because this is one of like the sexy movies of my childhood.
Well, I want to talk about it all. All right, well, we will. Ladies and gentlemen, to help break it down even further, you've already heard what she thought of the film a little bit. But now she'll tell you her more thoughts. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm well. How are you, Paul?
Good. Nice to hear from you. June.
Yes.
Body of evidence. Have you seen it?
I have seen it. So for a time in my childhood and early, like middle school years, my mom would request a thriller from Blockbuster. Like whenever the family was going to Blockbuster, she would call out, "Get me a thriller." And so I'm almost positive I saw this movie with my parents.
This was the kind of movie, though. Your mom, do you know that in that moment, your mom was asking for a sexy movie? Because the thrillers of the 80s, Basic Instinct, yeah. Body of Evidence, Sliver, all the Body Heat, all of those movies are sexy
Super
movies.
Super sexy, yeah.
I've seen two in the theater with my parents. One was The Color of Night, that Bruce Willis one that we did in the podcast. Another one was with Richard Gere, and there was a lighthouse, and there was a lot of nudity. I saw that one with my grandma.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Did it get romantic afterwards?
It's a good question.
Because, like, those movies can really stoke a lot of feelings, and afterwards,
My grandma.
No boundaries in his family are
fluid.
All I'm gonna say is my grandma is a real polite woman.
Meaning she won't say anything about what happened between you guys?
Exactly. What happened in the Comac Multiplex stays in the Comac Multiplex.
Oh, God.
Guys, this was a movie that I wanted to see so badly. I only just saw it today for the first time. But it was like, this felt to me like the dirtiest thing you could possibly see. Because Madonna had her sex book in 1992. This movie comes out in 1993. Erotica, her album. I just felt like, oh, Madonna knows about sex.
If anyone knows about it, it's Madonna.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that was what this, I feel like that's what so much of this was sold on, was the absolute kind of like, it was going to be Madonna in this like insanely sexual role, but in a way that was like even more because she was like the biggest, most famous person in the world at the time.
Yes,
you know?
The sentiment is definitely like, we get to find out how she likes to fuck.
For the people who were like, oh, I want to know how she fucks, but I don't want to read a book.
Yeah,
they were like,
I just watch it.
They were like, guess what? We've got just the movie for you.
It's
called
also,
Shanghai Surprise.
It's also for people who want to see how she fucks, but also likes a good courtroom thriller.
Which, by the way, I'm on board for. Like, I'll be honest. Like, this is close to being a good movie. This is good movie adjacent.
Jason.
This is good movie adjacent.
I think it is adjacent because I think you got lost in the eroticism of the film.
Say it slower. Talk to me. What? Like where?
I think this movie, I mean, let's get into it. Let's start at the very beginning. There's no reason this woman should be on trial. There's no reason. I mean, things come out during the course of the trial and evidence is found during the course of the trial, but I cannot imagine a judge letting this happen. Based on what?
Well, I mean...
Nipple clamps.
Based on... Okay,
there was nipple clamps found at the scene.
I'm going to say that Judge Mabel the sassiest judge of all time.
I mean,
that is sassy court.
This movie had so many, I'll allow it, counselor.
Are you done with your bag of tricks? Well, he just revealed a major plot point. It's not a bag of tricks.
I don't like where you're going. I was like, these are all comedy lines.
So, June, this is how Joe Mantegna sets up the whole premise.
That she insisted on increasingly strenuous sex, knowing he had a severe heart condition. And when that didn't work fast enough for her, she secretly doped him with cocaine. His heart couldn't take the combination, and she got what she wanted. She is a beautiful woman. But when this trial is over, you will see her no differently than a gun or a knife or any other instrument used as a weapon. She's a killer. And the worst kind. A killer who disguised herself as a loving partner.
Bam!
So, her crime and what she's been arrested for is strenuous sex? They have no physical evidence.
Well, they've got the cocaine
but
in...
But it's not tied to her.
Right. It was
yes,
in his nose
bottom.
Yes, but
she did do it. She did it. Spoiler alert, she put cocaine in the nasal spray and fucked him
but
to death.
But my point is, this trial should never have happened.
The facts are, she killed that guy via... Like a spray and slam.
Listen, your reading is your reading, and mine is mine. We all saw different things.
No, I agree with you in the sense that she shouldn't be on trial because they've not done a good enough job figuring out that she, in fact, did commit murder.
By the way, even if... So Ann Archer, I think this is why she's arrested, because Ann Archer said she saw her do cocaine once.
Right, yes.
But that's still not evidence that she planted cocaine in his nasal drops.
I agree, in the sense that, listen, I think for movie's sake they arrested her too quickly, but they had the evidence.
By the way, her connection
to the doctor, again, she confesses to the crime.
But June,
you will never not listen, convince me that she does not confess to the crime.
The great thing about movies is you can see it and have your opinion, and I can see it and I'm going to have my opinion.
Oh my God.
I was going to say, though, but having him do cocaine is also not a crime.
No, if he doesn't know he's doing cocaine.
Okay. Then that is criminal intent, because she does know.
I gotta figure out something real quick.
Anyway, I can't imagine what that's about. No, she puts cocaine in his nasal spray that is, he doesn't know is cocaine.
Okay, but...
What she does know, allegedly, is that...
No, she confesses to the crime. Make no mistake, Madonna says, I did it.
What she does know, based on that doctor, is that the doctor that she dated, is if he ever did cocaine again, with his heart the way that it is, he would, I guess, die instantly?
If then compromised, again, this is crazy, but Joe Mantegna is correct.
Okay.
She tried to do it to Langella. Shouts to Frank Langella. Langella barely gets away.
The reveal that he is gay is as if he is a murderer.
I think he is.
It was like, and I caught him in bed with what? A dog. And everyone, oh. Like, when they reveal he's gay, the audience are, this is a very prude court.
Yes.
Well, this is
Portland
also...
Portland is prude.
Well, listen, my point, Jason, I know that she does end up confessing it. At this point, though, in the beginning, she is on trial for being a sexual woman.
Very much so.
She is arrested for that very reason.
And the movie is purposefully putting her sexuality and her sexual taste on trial. That is what
Absolutely.
The movie is about. Is that her her style of or taste in sex is itself, you know, and the judge has to keep correcting Joe Mantegna to correct him away from words that are specifically negative, you know, because right. he's trying to frame what is absolutely within the bounds of normal sex as something that is inherently wrong or morally corrupt. And that is not what's happening, right?
True. Now, I will say that you both have good points, but at one point, and we've done this show for a long time, I just wrote down, movies are silly. Because there was such acting. Like, when Willem Dafoe, who I think is a brilliant actor, but when he says, like, that's something I never asked my clients, I was like, ah, this acting, it's fun. We're all having a good time.
I'm also...
You're not really a lawyer. You're Madonna. Let's have fun. Put on a show. Put on a hat. Put on some glasses. Let's do it.
In the first scene when the police are investigating the crime scene and they've got markings on the head, on the rail of the bed, markings that are clearly the result of handcuffs or restraints of some sort, the police, the guy who's an expert at analyzing the situation says, looks like she was chewing on the wood. What? You're a middle-aged policeman in Portland. You've never seen handcuff marks on a bed frame? And you have seen teeth marks on a bed frame? So frequently that you're like, I know what this is. This is one of those classic gnaw jobs.
It's interesting, though, because the police should be much more jovial. It's a sex crime, but they seem to respect it a little bit more than it, like...
Wait, they should be more jovial because it's a sex crime? Why? Because that's not a real crime?
No,
is that what you're saying, Paul? Are you saying that they should be joking around because it's only a sex crime? Real crime? It's not a... It's an SVU, not a reg... Whoa.
These mics are hot.
Hot mics. Go ahead, Paul, sorry.
I was saying, no, like, typically in a movie like this, you would see these cops going, oh, yeah, I bet you.
They'd be enjoying it a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
And they are, I was surprised at their restraint.
Their reverence.
Yeah, their reverence to it. But also then immediately dropping that when he's trying to put the nipple clamps on himself. Like, it is without judgment, but it also seems like poor police work. So much so they're like, put that in the bag. You've just put your fingerprints all over evidence. The other thing was, why was Willem Dafoe at the burial? Is he just a lawyer waiting?
Great question.
Like, so, maybe I'll find a gig today.
I think she says she had called him and he was there to find her, to talk to her?
No, because she says, you must be the lawyer because no one else wants to talk to me. But would you tell a lawyer to meet you at the burial? I don't have that much time to meet today. If you could meet me at the burial, that I have a little bit of time after the homily and right after I put a rose on the casket. That would be great.
And,
the walk and, the car?
And I'm definitely sure I'm about to be arrested for a murder I 100% committed.
The one thing I didn't get about this alleged murder was why did she leave the video playing? Why did she leave the VHS tape playing?
I wrote that down too. I was like, because I thought, like, at first, they describe it later, but I was like, is that a live feed? It isn't. And I'm like, so then he just died watching himself fuck?
Wait, in the opening scene,
yeah,
he's alone in bed watching the video. Is he dead already?
No. Oh, God, no, he's not.
I think he is dead.
She didn't do it, you guys. He's alive.
Wow. This is a wild reading of this movie.
I think he is dead, but
is he dead at the beginning? Yes, okay. So when we, because I couldn't tell.
When we
come up and the video's playing, we're looking at a corpse, right?
Right.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay, so
a corpse on a stormy night. By the way, this movie has one lighting mode, which is there's shades and light is coming in. Everyone is getting one piece of light across their face.
Well, that's, I feel
it's like someone watched a film noir class and was
that's
like, got it.
That's it. I think they sold this on, it's a classic film noir. She's a classic femme fatale. This
Do
is
you
what
like
it is.
Double Indemnity?
Don't unspool us.
Fucking.
Do not unspool us.
Great episode. Ed Brubaker came on, talked about his dad.
But this is Double Indemnity. You
right.
know what I mean? That this is a modern take on that storyline of her tricking the guy into thinking he's helping her. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Double Indemnity, great movie. Billy Wilder movie.
Great
but
podcast. Unspooled.
Not sure about the podcast.
America
I'm clear. Never
loves
been
it.
On it.
North June? America specifically.
I've never been on it, so I can't speak to it.
Can I ask a quick question? Has anybody in the audience been on Unspooled?
As a guest?
Thank you.
No, yeah. They haven't.
Yeah, a bunch of these audience members.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I invited them. I comped them all. I comp all of our guests. I'll normally just call people in D.C. and be like, you want to come on and just share a thought?
And now it's time on Unspooled for D.C. Shares a Thought.
I have a phone book. I just randomly dial a number. Someone picks up and...
You have a phone book?
Yep.
You have a D.C. area phone
yep,
book?
Yep, it's big. I got to carry it with me. It fits in my backpack and walk around with it.
No wonder you get bullied so much.
Well, you know, they could kick me in the back, but it doesn't hurt because I got that phone book there. But I think what undercuts this movie, because I think you're right, Jason, like, in the very sense of the film being like a noir thriller, like something is pulling the rug out. And I don't know if it's the lack of chemistry. I don't know if it's just goofy.
I thought they had chemistry.
You did?
Oh, see, my biggest problem in the movie was that I thought Madonna was great, but I did not feel like she had the depth of the potential to have the depth to give that character the complexity to make her truly like fascinating. Like the way that honestly Sharon Stone is in Basic Instinct.
Yes.
Like and Kathleen.
Basic Instinct 2.
Of course. I mean,
you know, like
and
in Body
Sliver.
Heat. In Body Heat, you know, like Kathleen Turner, like these are characters that you are just like that are truly like amazingly drawn, and
for
this
sure.
just didn't, it felt flat.
Yes, having just come off of Shanghai Surprise,
oh, so
my
much better.
Expectations were so low.
Of course,
that I was like, Madonna's a star.
Oh, no.
She's a wonderful actress. And I did actually think she's competent, and she has to do some
totally.
Things in this movie.
She is
She has
leaps,
to do them.
Leaps and bounds ahead of Shanghai. I'm not trying to take...
Yeah.
I really mean it. Like, I thought she did great. But if the movie... I think the movie... That's what I say. Like, the movie is good adjacent. Like, better performer, better stuff. I think this becomes a more interesting movie.
Yeah.
Not a good movie, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, we know nothing about her character or motivations.
Except that she's innocent.
Except that she's completely innocent.
Well, I knew she was suspect when I saw that houseboat. I was like, if you're on a houseboat, you're up to something.
You will hear this episode then maybe in the near future, or maybe you've already heard it, but also in Drop Dead Fred, there's a woman in the late 80s, early 90s, who's childless. Single, living on a houseboat.
That is such an 80s, I guess now early 90s, right? Isn't
yeah.
this early
90s? Early 90s
Such
trope.
A trope that doesn't exist anymore. Like, if you would have asked me in 1984 my dream living scenario, I would have said houseboat.
Now,
well, the thing that I love about it, though, for women is it's like she has no place on land.
You're a pariah.
She's...
You're
yeah,
a pariah.
Like you
You're
can't
an unmarried
walk
woman.
On this land. Yeah. You don't you maybe don't want to have children. Like get out off the land.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Society is saying drown yourself. Their answer is not quite yet.
I thought it was single ladies want a house that can rock with them when they fuck.
That's it.
That's what I thought.
By the
I did
way,
do...
the house looked amazing. I mean, I've never seen anything like that.
I mean, there were some interesting choices there. One being the giant vase just simply in the living room. And just the amount of candles. She seemingly hot. Oh, we have some candles in the audience tonight.
Wow.
I appreciate you.
Those are going to be hard to drip. Well, okay. If you now produce four candles, I'm going to fucking freak out.
Three candles.
Because there was two, then there was three. And if there was suddenly 16 candles.
And then Molly Ringwald came in and said, I have a question.
And Jake Ryan.
But that houseboat is the classiest houseboat. I did some research. I Googled it today. Apparently, houseboats are very big in Portland, where she was, where this movie takes place, and they're called float homes. And as of right now, there are 450 float homes in Oregon.
Wow.
So that was some real research there. I guess what I was really unclear about until the very end was that Willem Dafoe was married to Ann Archer.
No.
Julianne Moore. Sorry. Ann Archer in this movie look a little bit alike.
This, straight up, Ann Archer in my soon-to-be Ladies of the 80s podcast. A full season will be dedicated to Ann Archer. I loved Ann Archer. But Julianne Moore crushing in... I loved her, like, running her restaurant. I loved everything.
It was one of the best parts of the movie for me, is the development of that relationship and what she did with so little
and
their son.
Her son from another marriage that is
fascinating.
Like, that is not, like, they don't dig in on anything, but it's all there.
Yes.
But that's why I thought they weren't married. I feel like that wasn't, first of all,
because you can't expand your ideas about what family structures look like. You're just like locked in.
Well, I think it was more due to the fact of the way that Willem Dafoe talked to a child, which was...
Keep in mind, he's still Willem Dafoe.
Can you really screw someone to death?
No. Besides, you don't have to worry about that stuff yet. Do you?
No.
Because you are a good-looking guy. Let's go.
Nope.
So
no, thank
weird.
You. No, thank you, sir.
Here's the thing. We need to be able to talk to our children about how much pussy they're gonna get. We can't let them be afraid out there. We have to let them know. Guess what? In a couple of years, you're gonna be drowning in it.
By the way, Willem is lying to him. You can screw someone to death. That's the one thing that we know about this movie. You can do it. Frank Langella says, she tried to screw me to death. Like, that's the central thesis.
Well, but it didn't work, and it's hard to know. So, again...
And I wouldn't tell a kid.
I would never tell a child that. But she did
old
not
enough to
actually...
Ask
I don't know what the autopsy report actually said.
Cardiac
it seems
arrest.
He died, right, but it seems he died from the cocaine and not from...
No, the strenuous sex plus the cocaine is what gave him a heart attack.
Hey, if you got to go out.
But how would you... I mean, I'm genuinely wondering how you would possibly
know
that.
Paul, are you asking to be murdered?
Not in, a bad way to go, am I right? Where are my bros? A high five, right?
Where are your bros? High five?
Bud Lights for everybody.
Bud Lights? You're going to go out like on a light beer?
This is going to be me chatting about it beforehand. I'm like, yeah, we got to go out. Not that way. You know that that's a scene they probably cut out from the movie. A bunch of guys like reading the paper. Hey, you got to go out. Not that way. Joe Montana says that to the other cop. I could have written this movie so much better.
Honestly, I don't know.
I'm not sure. Based
on what's just happened, I think not.
Well, let me tell you, for the sex scene, I would do like this. I'd be like this. Ooh, yeah, you like it. And you'll get more of it, and I'm going to give it to you.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you acting in it now?
Well, I will give a line read because some people say that my dialogue
June
is dense.
The writer?
June, can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah.
Are you safe? Are you okay?
I don't feel safe right now.
I got three holes. It's your choice. Let's go.
plug
Wait,
it up.
Your
like
character
a boat
has three holes?
I'm writing for all the characters. Plug it up like a dam.
Plug it up. That's a potential t-shirt. Plug
Just
it up
a
like
wall
a dam.
With a guy standing in front of it. Clearly, his dick is in the dam.
What? Somebody who's got paper, if we say that's a potential t-shirt, just write it down so we remember later, because we'll forget. Thank you.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you, I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But I guess
I already have a headache.
I know, I'm exhausted.
I mean, here's things I want to talk about. Elevator hand job. Parking garage sex scene. All I want is for a woman to stand on a car and smash a light bulb so we can fuck. That's
by
all,
the
is
way,
that too much to ask, DC?
By the way, they were getting out of court in the brightest of day, right? They were leaving, I would say, 3 at the most. They go into a parking lot that is so dark.
And
it
haunted.
Is like it's like the bottom of a fucking well. There is not a person, no one parked on that level at all. The elevator's packed. So what's happening on P4? I wanna know. And then they fuck in a parking lot. It was an improvised scene.
What?
What?
Oh, yeah.
How does that become an improvised scene?
So, Madonna did a lot of stuff in this movie where... So, okay.
basically no body doubles were used. That's a big deal for them. They were as their bodies. And so she would do things to him to kind of goose him, like the light bulb being smashed, and then we'll get into it, but she also poured candle wax on him without telling him to get a genuine reaction. The third time she poured candle wax, which looked like it was on his dick, that was real. And Willem Dafoe said, well, Madonna said it was very, it was almost scientific, it was not sexy at all, and Willem Dafoe said, nah, he was turned on.
It was scientific? I would maybe understand clinical, but scientific isn't right. She doesn't, I don't think she's working out a theorem.
She's collecting data.
I don't think this is a double blind test.
They did rehearse the sex scenes for a couple weeks before they started shooting.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, there but there was a lot of choreography. Like, yes. There was.
No, I agree. That sounds outrageous, but of course, because they're so long.
Yeah.
Because they're so long, and to your point, they did not use body doubles.
Yeah, that's
so
their own body.
So they had to be doing, they're doing long takes. This isn't quick cut. They're not cutting between just like close up of this, close up of that, like the way that sex scenes are shot a lot of times. They're doing it in camera a lot.
God bless them.
And they look good. They both look really good. I mean, you feel like if you know you're in that movie.
These are sexy scenes, I will say.
I mean, Madonna has full on abs. Like in one scene when she is fingering herself there, you just see abs. I was like, wow, Madonna's in shape.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Is that a big thing for you?
All of a sudden, I'm like, I don't think I have abs.
Oh, boy.
But one pervo noticed this, that Madonna's character doesn't remove her shoes in any of the three major sex scenes, except very briefly to smash a light bulb with her heel. So that's the light bulb scene.
I'm confused, though. The movie that we saw, was that unrated? Because I feel like I saw her vagina. What did I see? What did I just watch?
You didn't see the front of her vagina. You saw like
the back?
I'm sorry. Show's over. Black it out. Black it out. Show's over. That's it. We're not going to beat it. We're not going to beat it. The t-shirt is the back of her vagina. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. What? Wow. What? We didn't see the front of her vagina, .. Back of the shirt, we saw the back of her vagina. Holy shit. Oh, my God. Oh.
DC knows what I'm talking about, right?
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. And I'm remembering conversations around where did the butt start.
Oh, this podcast is really cumulatively about the human anatomy. And us trying to just figure it out. Wowee. Wow.
How do you describe the parts that aren't often talked about on podcasts? Look, if we were Savage Love, we'd know exactly what part of the vagina we saw. Wait, so June, you saw her vagina?
But I did. I thought during...
When? I'm curious.
I thought I actually saw
it. Wow, a lot of applause.
Oh, okay.
I thought I saw it twice. I thought I saw it in the parking lot scene. It's not a front view of her vagina, but it's like a side view. Where if you look closely enough, I'm pretty sure you see her vagina.
And then, okay. Yeah, and then, and also, I mean, I don't know if this is too much to get into, but I felt like there was a bush in the VHS video, and then there was no bush.
She switches it up based on the dude she's dating.
In the movie, I thought I saw her vagina another place. I can't remember now.
Oh, in the courtroom scene, when the judge was on the stand, the judge's vagina, right?
Wow. Wow, Paul, that is a judge. We have to respect the chair.
Can I just play some sassy judge, by the way? We talked about her a little bit.
Holy shit. The back of the vagina is like a real... That's real for me.
Did you have sexual relations with her?
Objection, irrelevant.
Your Honor, if you allow me some latitude, I can establish the relevance.
You'd better. Objection overruled. The witness is directed to answer the question.
No. No, you did not have sexual relations.
No, we didn't.
Because she refused to have sex with you. Isn't that correct?
Objection, Your Honor. The counsel is trying to manufacture the implication.
Get up here, both of you, right now. Mr. Delaney, if you're just bottom feeding, you're going to choke on the mud.
I'm working toward a specific point, Your Honor.
Work fast. I'm getting tired of seeing you this close to me. Objection overruled.
I mean, spin that character off.
Oh.
One moment I like that has nothing to do with sex.
The credits?
Was when they go out to eat and Madonna's telling that story about the strawberry. It opens up on, it's like a birthday cake coming by, and Madonna is like, oh, is it for me? Oh, not for me. Like, she really seems excited. Like, oh.
I noticed that as well. It seemed as though they clocked the cake as if it would be for them. And I was like, why? Why would you ever... A, they put that in the script. It said, a birthday cake passes by the table. They look at it, but then go back to their conversation. Or... they improvised it on the day and were like, oh, when the cake comes by, let's look at it like it's for us.
And
either way, people were like, yeah, let's do that.
Maybe, I mean, I know that Madonna was method. Julianne Moore said Madonna was so method that she wouldn't speak to her on set. So maybe Madonna in her method acting was like, it is my character's birthday.
Wow. Wow, That's amazing. I love that she wouldn't speak to Julianne Moore on set.
Yeah, Julianne Moore was literally afraid to slap her and apparently came so far away from hitting her because she was so nervous to kind of even be in her orbit. Yeah, I guess she was intimidating. I mean, Madonna was paid more than all the other actors combined on this movie.
At the time, Madonna is unquestionably one of the most famous people in the world.
They bought this script thinking, this is for Madonna. Like, we don't have a movie if we don't have Madonna. And the producer was like, please don't release that sex book. Please, 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 please,
oh,
please.
Oh, really?
Until the movie's out. And she didn't do it. And he blamed the book on the movie getting this kind of feedback. which I don't know. I don't know how that all worked out. Here's my big question I wanted to ask you both. When Madonna sees him in that restaurant and he's like, tell me, am I, you know, look around, who do you know that, you know, wants to fuck like that? And she looks around and, you know, it's like they got their thing and they go back to her houseboat and she jumps out like a vampire and sexes him. He seems aggressive from the get-go. Like, there's no, like, arc to his character. Like, he literally is ripping off her skirt in the first scene.
Well, here's what... Yes, I agree with you. Like, in order for it to have worked, it should be that the sex scene previous, where he's having sex with Julianne Moore, he should appear to be a prude, or he should be very vanilla in the sex he's having.
Like, don't let me see the front of your vagina.
Yeah, or like...
Yeah, back only. Back only.
Only the back, bottom, or top. But not the front. But, and so I think that, like, that would have made sense.
Right.
But it, you, you like, they don't. He has, like, it seems like a very healthy, you know, fun,
robust
life. Sex life with Julianne Moore. So then...
Animalistic, if you will.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that he would be lured into something atypical. This doesn't seem like much of a stretch. If Willem Dafoe had been played by Jeff Daniels...
Right.
Like,
that's the
at
thing.
The time.
You're
or,
right.
Or it's
Arachnophobia Jeff Daniels.
It's Jeff Bridges in body heat.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Joe Mantegna would have been a better Willem Dafoe because he's so stoic, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't play out that way. So again, it's miscasting makes it not, it just, it, this could have been campier fun, I feel like. But it doesn't work in a bummer way. It just is an opportunity for them to just indulge in 8-minute sex scenes.
I mean, and then the trial part. This is one of my favorite trial movies because everyone's up on that stand like twice. Like,
yes.
I don't think that ever really happens in a trial. Like, get him back! Get him back up there!
Well, if he was in this room, he is in this room.
That was my favorite moment! How did they not see that?
Every single person called to the stand is a credible witness for both lawyers. Like everyone has, every person has a full reversal within the movie's structure. It's crazy. This is terrible law.
So you agree that even if she did it, she should have still been found innocent?
Here's what I'll say.
Because they just didn't have the
case. They didn't prove it. A reasonable doubt.
Here's what I'll say. She was not found guilty. She did do the crime.
Yes. Okay.
Right?
Look, that...
Let's take OJ for example.
A jury of her peers have decided...
A jury of her peers? Okay. Jeez, Louis. Wowee, kazowie. Okay.
I mean, basically, Willem Dafoe is like reasonable doubt. Like, he gave a reasonable doubt. Like, he did a great job.
Willem Dafoe should be disbarred.
What? You can have sex with your clients, can't you?
Wait, Paul. Paul just said, what? You can have sex with your clients, can't you?
There's no rule there.
You cannot.
I don't
know.
So.
That's like not a thing.
I mean, are there any lawyers in the house?
Wait,
in the audience. All right,
this is DC. There's a lawyer in the house. Yeah,
for sure there is.
I'm gonna go down.
There are so many lawyers in this room right now.
There must be a code of ethics. I mean,
raise your hand if you're a lawyer.
We have a couple.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
We got a lot of lawyers. All right,
here we go.
I saw you first. Can you have sex with a client?
So you can, but only if you had a pre-existing sexual relationship. You cannot start a sexual relationship when she's your client.
So that's interesting now to know about Willem Dafoe's character. Oh. That he's risking not only his family, but his professional future.
And he's, when I tell you, there is no question. He goes in.
Yeah, there's no pause.
She stops him. He's coming at it so hard in the movie.
Well, no, she lit all those candles.
No, outside. Okay. When he brings her home after their celebratory dinner and whatnot, like, he goes in for the kiss. Like,
oh, right.
She's not seducing, I mean, she's, you know, she's not seducing him out of his marriage, out of his whatever. He is aggressive.
Well, that's why I thought he was only dating Julianne Moore, because...
Because that's okay to cheat?
Well...
Because then it's okay to fuck Madonna if they're not married. But when they're dating, everything's on the table. June.
Don't,
oh my God.
June.
Oh no. Oh God.
June.
Oh God. June. Oh
anyway, God. DC, let's hang out tonight. Bud Lights for everybody.
DC, let's hang out tonight. That's so weird.
Weird. But I guess what I was saying was, like, it just felt like, okay, maybe they, I mean, I'm making a lot of justifications, but he just decides to throw away his whole life in an instant. There's really no hesitation on his part at all, which I think makes him a really unsympathetic character.
100%. Yes, 100%.
And I mean, as a lawyer, can you give up on your whole family in a second like that? Does any lawyers know
about
that?
But here's the thing.
That's not
and
for
it
a
just,
lawyer to answer, Paul.
It just highlights something which is true. A lawyer cannot be a sympathetic character.
That's interesting.
Except for the Lincoln lawyer. McConaughey doing law out of a car.
My favorite line is when Julianne Moore and him have their fight in the very, very steamy alley. It looks like that alley is exporting steam for basically everywhere in the United States. But she goes, I hear things. People saw your car down by the river by her houseboat. Like, who the fuck is, who do you have, like, who's your intel down by the river? So you could say, like, oh, yeah, people saw you guys at dinner. People saw you fucking in the parking lot.
There are so...
Like,
there,
not in your car, like, down by the river. Is fucking Chris Farley reporting this to her?
It was so...
Well, he is one of her regulars. That character, Matt, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Matt.
It's one of her... is one of the regulars at the restaurant.
They cut out that scene.
There's so much we're forced to kind of create in our minds because we don't... And I agree. I love that we don't know a ton about their relationship, about him and Julianne Moore, but it's also troublesome because I don't think it serves Willem Dafoe's character. Like, if we were to understand, okay, she's working a lot, this restaurant, which I think they're trying to set up a little bit.
Barely.
This restaurant's taking over her life. But then they seem to have... like quite a lovely rapport and understanding of each other and co-parenting and a beautiful step-parent relationship. And then...
Wow, you're really reading a lot.
But then, no, I'll be honest.
They
had
one scene,
yes,
June. One
like,
scene
oh,
and they fucked.
I felt the
like,
same.
Oh, they're going to have a really vanilla sex life. Like, not really. It's too sweaty for my liking, but
I think you
got to
get
great.
Sweaty if you're doing it right.
So it's just so confusing. It's like, what is he running from? What is he
That's
want
the thing.
Out of
in the logic of the movie, the logic of how the movie should work, where Julianne Moore is and where Madonna is should seem to be two separate like lives. Should
right.
be, seem to be there's this life or there's this life. And it should be a choice that Willem Dafoe has to make. But they are so close together in terms of how compelling the sexual connection is, their chemistry is with each other. All of that stuff seems so dialed in with Julianne Moore that it doesn't seem more dialed in or more exciting necessarily.
Wait, I'm sort of like, Julianne Moore would suck on your nipples if that's what you want?
Or pour candle wax on you.
I feel like she would.
Oh, 100%. She is. They are having very fun,
buoyant.
Yes.
Sex.
So that's why the Madonna stuff never felt like, oh, now I get to really express myself.
Yeah.
Here's a thought.
I know this is
Here's
tough
a thought,
for you.
And I'm just gonna put it out there. Maybe they were just doing like dry humping in that first scene.
Paul, what do you think dry humping is?
Like. No, you know, no penetration, and he's maybe wearing a little tiny jeans over his, like,
over his wiener?
Penis. Yeah.
He's got a pair of wiener jeans?
Wiener jeans
wiener
when you want to get sweaty,
You're wondering
but
what Anthony Wiener's
out.
Up to now. Anthony wiener jeans. This is all I have left.
But then, I do also...
DC!
I do love also, I mean, there's so much to talk about, when he sleeps in his office and then his partner, like, runs outside the window.
Oh, my God.
It looks like he was on a, I mean, I guess he's not on a high floor, but why not just knock on the door? It's an office. You have to knock on the window, and the big reveal is, hey, we watched the whole tape. You remember that tape that we just
once
stopped?
Once again, the police are terrible at their jobs in this movie. Which is a real, you know, it's a real bad look for the Portland police.
can we just talk about the reveal, the final scene, and then we'll get to the audience here. But when Madonna does reveal her end, I mean, this is one of my favorite monologues ever, which is, this is it. This is Madonna revealing her evil plan.
You slept with him?
I don't think we ever slept, did we, Frank?
Don't look so hurt, Alan. I fucked you, I fucked Andrew, I fucked Frank. That's what I do. I fuck. And it made me $8 million.
So, you're fucking Dr. Paley here, and he mentions a rich patient, a rich, delicate patient. And you figure you can fuck yourself into the will. You know how to do that.
I'm hard to resist.
The coke came from Dr. Paley, didn't it?
Made it untraceable.
Why are you telling him?
He's telling us.
Now, as a screenwriter of this movie, I will say I felt like I leaned on the word fuck a little bit too much in that scene.
What if Willem Dafoe was Kyle MacLachlan? Mm-hmm. What if Willem Dafoe was somebody like truly who had like a boyishness to him, not a like, I suspect if you tore his face off, there's a ghoul? There's perhaps the potential that there's a ghoul under there. And a sexual ghoul at that. Like a ghoul who loves to fuck. That's the thing. Willem Dafoe is the wrong person to be having these, to be having like the dominoes fall and have it all kind of, whoa.
It's interesting because Madonna handpicked him. There was no audition. She's like, the only person I want to do this with is Willem Dafoe.
Wow. Because I think it's because it's like freak meets freak. Like, freak sees freak.
Yes.
Like, she sees him because they do. That's the thing. The chemistry is wrong in that it's not developed and we don't get to see him hurt here at all or feel like he risked anything emotionally and feel stupid. We just see two freaks meeting each other.
And here's the thing. The third freak is like, what are you guys doing? Like, the foreign doctor is like, whoa, you guys are too weird for me. Like, that guy, oh, God.
Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Today's episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Well, guess what, people? This is the deal for you. It's Philo. Philo's got movies. It's got shows. And it's got live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Philo has unlimited DVR for 1 year, so you can save all of your favorite shows and you can watch them on your own schedule. That's right. It also allows for multiple profiles and multiple streams. That's right. Mom can be in the kitchen. Dad can be out in the man cave. And Sister Tina can be in her own room. Never miss a minute of shows because there's no better way to watch TV when Philo has more than 70 channels like ID, Lifetime, and MTV. So try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/bonkers. That's philo.tv/bonkers to get 50% off your first month. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. People, how is your social battery right now? You know what I'm talking about? You know, do you feel drained? Do you feel bursting with energy? Well, it's very easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. I mean, I do it all the time, but sometimes we have to figure out the right amount of socializing and maybe the right ways to recharge. Maybe you're an introverted extrovert. That's what I consider myself. Maybe you're just an introvert. You got to figure out how to pace yourself. And therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bonkers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/bonkers.
Well, let's get into it with the audience. Let's see what you have to think about this film.
DC, we really did it. We really, really did it.
All right, so I'm going to come out here to you and see what you have to say about this movie. And my first question will be this. Enough sex, too much sex, or too little sex? You tell us, based on this movie, what you think. More, less, or was just about right? Okay, so what's your name?
It's Allison.
Allison.
Too much.
Too much. And your question?
Did anyone else think with Ann Archer, with the videotape, that it was going to end up that they were together, Madonna and Ann Archer?
Yes!
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 Good question. I was waiting for her to walk out of that hallway.
Wouldn't that have been better?
And why not? Because my question was, we don't care about this guy.
Well, my question was that because did this come after isn't it Basic Instinct where it's her and Gene Triplehorn?
Yeah.
Right? Were they like, oh, that's too much of a Basic Instinct ripoff?
Well, here's
because
the
I
thing.
Was like, if this they're in movie, it together, if they're in cahoots, that's the best.
This movie wouldn't have known what Basic Instinct was doing because it was done simultaneously.
Oh, okay.
So they couldn't have cribbed.
Okay, got it. That's what I thought was happening. It was so much worse that it was Foreign Doctor.
I thought it was going to be the son was going to come back into the mix.
You thought the son was the stepson of Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore's birth son
they set it up.
Was fucking Madonna.
They set it up so clearly. I mean, I'm an amateur sleuther, and I'm always looking for the red herrings, but that one
you know what?
Caught it.
I might start listening to Unspooled.
All right, ma'am, your name, too much, too little, or just the right amount of sex in this movie, and your question?
My name's Tiffany. Just enough sex.
Great.
Okay, great.
So we talked a little bit about the VHS tape in the beginning. How long was this VHS tape that has been playing since midnight?
And this is a good question because I remember that VHS tapes used to have like three settings.
Two hours,
4 and 6.
Yes.
So probably 6?
But they find him the next morning.
My assumption is it's set to rewind and start playing itself again. In the logic of the movie, because I think you're right. Obviously, that would never continue to be being played.
All right. Ma'am, your name, how much sex, and your question.
My name is Danny. Too little sex.
Come on now. And
that's right. Danny gets it. More sex, says Danny.
So the Amazon review for this, or the description, opens with sex bomb Rebecca Carlson, played by Madonna, parades around naked in front of the open windows of her houseboat at all hours, even while the lobstermen catch crabs.
What? Who wrote that? That's amazing. I know you're reading it. She's right. She's not wrong.
Is that user submitted?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Can
no,
anybody edit that?
No, wow. I'm looking at her. I'm looking at it. This is like a screensaver. It's the description. That is, wow. That's amazing.
Ooh, that's so weird.
That is also currently like the, I think on Delta Airlines now, for The Good Place, it says, Vinny Chase and his friends find that Hollywood's a weird place. That's how they describe The Good Place on Delta Airlines.
Cool brag that you fly Delta, Paul.
Oh, you know it. I fly coach. And sometimes...
Middle seats on Delta!
You can keep your extra legroom. I don't need it on Delta because the seats are comfortably spaced. All right, we have a question from a return live questioner. Your name, when you asked your question the last time, and how much sex in your question, yeah.
My name is Madeline. I asked a question when you guys did Perfect Stranger last time in D.C. Thank you.
I don't remember that movie.
I said vagina on the podcast, right, so my mom was really proud. Right, great.
How much sex?
Way too much.
Okay.
Very uncomfortable to watch.
And now your question.
My question is, so whether Madonna did or did not commit this crime, which June, I agree, unclear.
She did it. She confessed.
I just want to know what you think would happen today with that movie, with the amount of slut-shaming that was present in this film.
Good question.
I don't know. I mean, it is really crazy. Like, the entire movie, it's called Body of Evidence, and the female body in this movie is so dangerous. It is
it's
called
a weapon.
Yeah, it's absurd. And again, what my point, which I'll go back to, regardless of whether she committed the crime, she should never have been on trial. But women are always on trial.
Here's what I'll say, though.
Sexual agency and just their bodies. I mean, I would like to put some of the men on trial in this movie and just start trying to understand.
I don't disagree. Yeah, go ahead.
No, what are they eating and what's their exercise routine? Because
that's what you want them to be on trial for?
Because they all have these heart conditions.
Because here's what I'll say.
They're dying and she's getting blamed for fucking them too hard?
No, she's getting blamed. Listen, Madonna confesses to murder, and I don't know about you, but when a woman says something, I listen and I believe.
Here we go.
I listen and I believe. And when she said, I did it, I believed her. Now, Jude, I understand you're saying this woman is not to be believed.
All I'm saying is this. If she had done it, that's fine.
She did do it.
That's her choice. That's her body and that's her choice. However...
Can I posit one thing?
Pause the podcast?
No.
It's going to be just dead air?
He wants to posit something.
I want to posit something.
Okay, posit.
The first time Willem Dafoe has sex with Madonna, he dies.
And this is, Paul, shame is on you. Paul, this is not a Jacob's Ladder scenario.
Maybe that glass from the light bulb went into his spine.
That's not the first time they have sex.
Well, I'm now amending it. And then the end of the movie is his fantasy because he can't justify this powerful woman not being guilty.
Okay, where are you, Paul? I'm freaking out right now.
He's right
I'm
over
up
there.
In the balcony!
Oh, okay.
He's right up there.
I see. Thank you.
With my monsters, Lady Gaga has her monsters. We have our balcony monsters. Sir.
I mean, listen, just to go back to Madonna for a second. We have to remember that this was during a time where a woman having sexual agency and sexual impulses and writing a book called Sex, it was an insane thing that was going on. And I think the audiences were so incredibly curious and scared about what that meant. And
agreed.
You see it in the movie. Like, people are terrified of
and
her.
That's what I think that...
Yes, turns out they should be. But...
No, I think these movies, though, are Basic Instinct is another one. They are equating a woman's sexual power with murderous intent.
Absolutely.
And that, I think, is irresponsible to say that someone who is so sexually liberated and sexually free is also, like, without morals and capable of murder. It just so had, like, I think that is a false equivalency and is an irresponsible line to draw. In the movie, she does murder the guys.
Yes. But she
those
should be
treated... Those are separate things.
But she should be treated as an innocent woman because she was never found guilty for that crime.
She should be... She is innocent until proven guilty.
Which she was not.
She was shown to be innocent but admitted her guilt.
Not in a court of law.
Not in a court of law.
Not in a court of law, and she won't be tried again because
well, don't worry about it, Jason. She's dead.
Or is she? Were those blanks? Maybe she's alive. Jason Bourne went into the water. He came out.
All right, sir. Your name, the amount of sex in the movie, your question.
Brian, shorter sex?
Okay. So you like the amount, but just shorter scenes?
I would have been fine with a montage scene instead.
Okay.
And why was Julianne Moore
That's
at the courthouse?
That's a very revealing... This is a very revealing answer for everybody.
Quick cuts.
For everybody.
Everybody, this reveals too much, honestly, Paul.
Everybody, when you go home tonight, everybody who's answered that question, your partner is going to be like, why did you say that? Why did you say shorter? Or why did you say not enough? Or why did you say too much? Why? A lot of hard conversations tonight. A lot of people saying to their partners, what would you have said? What would you have said? Too much, not enough, just enough.
Sir, your question.
Why was Julianne Moore at the courthouse?
1,000,000%.
And I'm gonna double down on that question and go, and why was she on that pier?
Agree.
Oh, I thought that was Ann Archer.
Who's updating her?
I thought, wait, you mean at the very end? I thought that Julianne was Ann Archer. That was
Julianne Moore and Ann Archer unfortunately had similar haircuts and colors.
Yeah.
Which was tough. I agree. But that also made no sense because I didn't know who was telling her to go there. I guess maybe the same person that told her that his car was there.
Who is that person?
Hey, guess what? You're going to want to get down here to the docks because your guy is here. That broad is dead and things are out of control. But honestly, girl, put a turtleneck and a leather jacket on and look good.
And keep she was it like. Cute.
She was like, I'm Julianne Moore. I got this on lock. For the next 40 years, I'm still going to look unreal.
No. It's like, she does look better now.
She is.
And she looked amazing then.
Unreal. Unbelievable.
Ma'am, your name, the amount of sex, your question.
I'm Sarah. There was not enough sex on a pile of broken glass.
I thought that was also dangerous.
So, did you guys know that Willem Dafoe has such a large penis that actually, in the film Antichrist, they had to get a body double with a smaller penis because Lars von Trier thought that his penis was confusingly large?
This gentleman said,
large is the greatest phrase I've ever heard. Confusingly large? That means that it, in regards to his body, caused like a dissonance. The visual was confusing.
I mean, now we know why Madonna wanted Willem Dafoe in this part.
Yes!
It's quite clear.
100%.
Wow. I will never forget that. That will always be with me.
I would love to need a body double for that reason.
I want to see a Dumb and Dumber movie with Fassbender and Willem Dafoe called Big and Bigger. And they're just pantsless the entire time. Just schlonging it out.
The only time I did a nude scene, they had to bring in somebody to do the penis scene just because they were like, we don't want people to think there's a little kid in the movie.
You, sir, said that you saw his penis?
Yes. So, I watched the Amazon version.
Got it.
And in the scene where she is pouring the wax on his body, it does a long cut through one of the million drapes that they have. And his penis is flopping underneath her person. And you can continue to see up and down, which posits the question that you were asking earlier. Maybe the rubbing and the dry humping was what Madonna brought to the table.
Oh, so she never had penetration. Oh, sorry. She
what?
Never had penetration. I was about to say, she never had penetrative sex.
Yep.
That's very sexy and very different.
What I would love is for women to describe my penis as flopping around.
Flopping.
Ooh, it was so good. His penis like flopped around for a while. You know, we kissed. He teased my tits a bit. And then like I flopped his dick around. And then, you know, we got down to straight up B-I-Z. And then he jazzed on my toes.
To describe a penis like a fish that you just caught and threw on the deck of a ship is a really tough image.
Flopping around.
Your name, the amount of sex, your question.
Liz, right amount of sex.
We haven't talked about the pharmacy scene yet. So, was it real cocaine, and was the doctor in on it?
Great question. Yes, was it real cocaine? Let's go to the monitor.
What?
Oh, geez, I guess it went out. No.
I don't mind because it was making a hum. Now I feel much better, actually.
The question is, was the pharmacist in on it?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
The pharmacist, not the doctor. You mean when she goes to get acupuncture?
Yes. He was a doctor.
He was, yeah. I think that is... It's not fake. It's all real stuff. But I think she was, in fact, probably in the past tense doing cocaine. Right? Is that the question?
I'm not sure what the question is.
The question is this. Does she really have bad cramps, or was she addicted to coke, or
are
both
true? No, she's doing coke. When Ann Archer saw her in the bathroom, she was doing coke. She wasn't, I don't think, sniffing a Chinese herb to help with her cramps. She is a murderer. Again, what are you guys doing?
Can't both be true. Why can't a woman have bad cramps and be a cokehead? We're in D.C. How many women have terrible cramps and are addicted to cocaine? By raising... Yeah, there you go. A lot of hands just went up. I like to always share a little bit of a fun fact now before we get into the next part of the show. And this is a fun fact here. Joe Mantegna stated in an interview that filming the courtroom scenes were so tedious that two of the extras playing jurors fell asleep during the filming of William Dafoe's closing statement. And so he had to yell at them to wake up. And also, this is the second movie in 2 years in which Madonna plays a character who picks up a bottle of champagne out of an ice bucket while wearing black underwear. The other is Dick Tracy. So that's a little, again, fun pervert fact for you. Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions. All right.
I made it through the movie now. Somehow I made it through. Gotta get on Amazon, give a 5-star review.
Oh, that was great. That was good, wasn't it? Give it up for Amy.
Great work.
Great work, DC. Fantastic job. Wow, we had a bunch of great second opinion songs there. Unfortunately, you could only hear one of them, but we'll be releasing a full cast album at the end of this tour.
Oh my God.
All of them will be available in a playlist on Spotify.
We are going to get them up and keep all those pennies. All right, so these are 5-star reviews, culled from Amazon.com. There are 176 reviews for this film. That's a lot. 40% are 5-star reviews. 40%. There's a couple here, and I'm trying to break down which ones I want to read. This one is from C.F. Mullins. C.F. Mullins writes, "It begins with some skin, and that skin quickly turns out to be cause of death. But is it murder? A lot of people want to know. And the answer is not clear. There's an ongoing investigation gets all tangled up with more sex in unusual places. There's passion, betrayal, and cover-up. Is there a good guy in all of this? 5 stars. Huh. This one, I'll start off really simply. This is written by Gene2LR. And the review is this: very erotic. 5 stars. Jay Aubrey writes, "I recommend that you listen to the erotica album, thumb through the sex book, and then watch this movie. Madonna could put Viagra out of business. Only prudes and those foolish but well-meaning Republicans could dislike Madonna. A+.
Can you imagine a world in which Madonna could put Viagra out of business?
I mean, apparently this person does a lot.
Here's the thing I feel like the subtext of all of these reviews. They were all written right after coming. Some dude was like,
This one is a little bit long. It's written by Stella Carrier. Truthfully, the fact that I'm a Madonna fan and an aspiring writer were a couple of the factors that influenced me to watch Body of Evidence when I ran across the synopsis just yesterday. I admit I rented this film and I plan on eventually buying it to expand my outlook on plot ideas for writing on both the happy and dramatic/shadowy sides of life. As a writer, I wish that Madonna's character could have been gotten a different ending and maybe showed her in a more favorable light. I admit that I was uneasy about Madonna being called to play a man-eater due to a man-eater being similar to a womanizer and a man-eater being an archetype that is judged in a harsh light regardless of how attractive and or intelligent a woman is considered. I also wish the writing could have been done to at least have a female friend of Rebecca Carlson who could have warned her to minimize and or avoid talking to Delaney's wife, even if it meant that she avoids talking to and or seeing him again after the court case. The additional caveat is that person must have an open mind to enjoy this film, to watch this movie due to some of the shocking graphic scenes. Hopefully one day when Madonna writes her memoir, she might share her candid thoughts on how she felt about Body of Evidence and some of her other films. Yes, obviously I would pre-order Madonna's book and or Kindle memoir regardless of whether she hires a ghostwriter or not. 5 stars. Being a Madonna fan / aspiring author. That was that. And I end it here. This is a non-attributed review, and it just says, excellent movie. The story, the acting, everybody played their part beautifully, except the judge. She sucked. 5 stars.
Boo! We love the judge. We love the judge. We love the judge. We love the judge. It's so easy to get you to chant. What? That was meaningless. And yet you just jumped right on it. Come on.
You'd be interested to know that in 1996, in an interview with Cosmopolitan, Madonna stated that there are 2 different endings filmed for this movie, one in which her character lived and one in which she died, and they went with the misogynistic ending. She said, a film is a director's medium. In other words, try not to work with a director who hates women. In my case, that means I'll be photographed badly and end up dead in the end. And then Madonna goes on to say, I fought every step of the way. I had no control. Women who has sex must die. That is the theme of the movie, but it wasn't the way to begin with. I am disappointed in it, but I'm not sorry I did it. I think I did a good job, but I got blamed for it. Everything. Like, I wrote it, produced it, directed it, and I was only there to act in it. So that's what she said.
I love her.
This movie's tagline was, an act of love or an act of murder? There it is. And the budget was $30 million.
Wow.
Opening weekend was $7 million. And the total domestic gross, $13 million. This came out in 1993. This movie came in 91 out of all movies made in 1993. So you could see Jurassic Park, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Fugitive. This movie was beaten by Demolition Man, Super Mario Brothers. But this movie beat Surf Ninjas, Mr. Nanny, Airborne, and Deadfall. So it did do a little bit better than our other films. June, Jason, would you recommend people see this film?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Madonna. There's lots of sex scenes. I mean, yeah, see this movie. It's I enjoyed, I did fall asleep a number of times.
Twice. And when you say fall asleep, I describe this to Jason too. You didn't just fall asleep. You closed your notebook, you pushed it to the side, and you put your head down on a pillow. It was like you were like, you decided to sleep in certain parts of this
you
movie.
You washed your face, you tucked yourself in.
That's true.
You put a white noise machine on.
That's true. I think there were
I was watching you, and I was like, I guess she's going to sleep.
There were about, I think for about 10 minutes of this movie, I just listened, and I just had my eyes closed. But this is the second time I've seen it. I'll probably see it again at
Wait,
some point.
What was the first time?
I told you, I think I'm almost positive I saw it with my parents.
Oh, right, yes, sorry.
I would also say see this. I mean, listen, I would say there are a number of other movies in this genre that do this better.
Of course.
And many of which have I already mentioned. I mean, Basic Instinct, Body Heat. There's a lot of, what's the Linda Fiorentino?
The one with David Caruso?
No, that's Linda Fiorentino. That's Sliver, right?
No, Jade.
Jade. That's not good. There's a bunch of Red Rock West. Is that a movie? There's a bunch of like femme fatale modern noirs that I think do this better.
Problem child.
But I still think this is enjoyable. I think there's a bunch of great performances in it that are okay. It's fun. It's super sexy. I don't know. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I think it's fine. Especially for the podcast.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting movie to watch. You know, I guess if you get insulted by, you know, maybe...
Body Heat. Guys, Body Heat. That's all I'll say.
That they should watch that
watch
instead.
Body Heat.
I've never seen it.
Oof. Am I wrong? Am I misremembering? No, people don't like Body Heat? Interesting. Jagged Edge?
Jagged Edge is not a sex movie.
It's not?
Not really.
What's Jagged Edge?
It's like a court thing where you think that Jeff Bridges is innocent and then he like reveals
Ice Castles?
Oh, wow.
What's Ice Castles?
I think that's like a pirate ice movie.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. If you like erotic thrillers like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants... Or The Sandlot.
Oh, no.
Well, we always thank our amazing producer, Avril Halley, for pulling these amazing clips, finding these fantastic films. Nate, Kylie, for doing all this amazing research. Our engineer, Devin, who's here with us here in D.C., we thank them all, but most importantly, we thank you, D.C.,
yes.
for coming out on a Sunday. Thank you so much for coming, DC. We'll see you again. Good night.
Woo!
Thank you. Did it.
All right, that brings us to the end of our very special Body of Evidence episode. A couple of announcements. June's book, Represent, A Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World, is available wherever you get your books. And if you're a fan of The Good Place, well, guess what? You know, Jason and I have both been on The Good Place, and maybe you'll be in for a treat in the final season. Who knows? Do we pop up? If I'm talking about it, chances are probably yes. John Wick 3, still out on video. I mean, it's still happening. It's there. And I just want to give a shout out to Big Mouth season 3, which is currently up on Netflix. It's so funny. It's so good. Jason, June, and I are all in it. And of course, Nick Kroll. And if you've not watched the Disclosure episode yet, based on the movie Disclosure, which we talked about a few weeks ago, you are missing out. It's so, so solid. A big shout out to Devin, who engineered this live in Washington, D.C. To Avril Halley, our producer, who picked this film. She is amazing. You can go follow her on Movie Bitches on YouTube. Also a big shout out to Nate Kylie for doing all of our research, Kyle Waldron, and also the ghost of Craig T. Nelson for designing some really amazing complimentary artwork for these shows, and of course our in-studio producer Cody Fisher, just killing it, everybody at Earwolf, we thank you so much.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You can host the best backyard barbecue
when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.